Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community.
Bright Bridget blessings, and welcome to Nature Spirituality with Selena Fox. This is Selena Fox, and we are exploring some Bridget Immolt traditions tonight. I invite you to take a few moments now and connect with the power of Immolt. The power of the waxing light, the power of Bridget shining bright. We envision a circle of light surrounding us, blessing our time together with the brilliance, the healing, the creativity, and the transformation of the goddess Bridget. Bridget Immolt traditions. What are traditions? Tonight I'm going to be sharing with you traditions old and new. And I give thanks to all who are tuning in live to our CSNP podcast, Nature Spirituality, and all who are joining us on my Selena Fox Updates Facebook page. And welcome to all of you who, through the magic of cyberspace, are able to listen later and tune in later. We will have a chance to connect with Bridget traditions, using symbols, using rituals, and I'm going to share some of my own personal traditions and chants, as well as talk about things that you might find helpful in your own personal life. I'm going to share some traditions that have made their way from the ancient past, as well as some traditions that have been more recently birthed. In addition to working with personal Immolt traditions for connecting with Bridget, let's take a look at household and spiritual community traditions, as well as global traditions that are now being transformed and shared around the world. Bridget sun shining bright, bless us with your sacred light. Bridget sun shining bright, bless us with your sacred light. Bridget sun, glowing bright, bless us with your sacred light. Well, one thing that connects Bridget and Immolt is the sun. In the cycle of sun and seasons, at Yuletide, we have the beginning of the solar year. And at spring equinox, we have a time when days and nights are of equal length, and midway between is Immolt. This is often called the Festival of Waxing Light or the Festivals of Light. And that's because at this time of year, which in the Northern Hemisphere, late January, early February, you truly can tell that the days are getting longer. There's literally more daylight in our lives. It becomes very noticeable. Now, amongst the ancient Celtic peoples and many traditions that are part of Imbolc today really are rooted in old Celtic ways, there were four fire festivals. These occurred to the midpoints of each of the seasons according to how many of us conceptualize them. The solstices and the equinoxes marking the beginnings of each of the seasons, and the fire festivals are at the midpoints of each of these four seasons. However, for some people today, as well as in the past, who are involved in Celtic spirituality, the four Celtic fire festivals actually are seen as a start of a season rather than at the midpoint of the season. So one of the things that is really important to do as you take a look at traditions and make determinations of what traditions you are going to continue, you are going to adapt, you're going to create, take a look at what's happening environmentally, weather-wise, climate-wise, with the vegetation and with animal life where you are celebrating Imbolc. I am celebrating from my home in 2022, which is in a forest in southwestern Wisconsin, USA. We are in the coldest part of the winter. We are at the height of the winter. So theoretically, there are stirrings of spring, but we really have to get to Beltane before we really get a lot of flowers. So for us, Imbolc is the midpoint of winter. Among some people, Imbolc is actually the beginning of spring, Beltane the beginning of summer, Lunasa the beginning of autumn and harvest, and Samhain the end of harvest and the beginning of the spiritual year. In contemporary paganism and other forms of nature spirituality, there are eight Sabbaths, solstices, and the equinoxes that make up the wheel of the year. And it really depends on the particular form of nature spirituality that you're practicing or that you're encountering as to how seasons are described. I think it's really a powerful time at the height of winter, as I'm experiencing it, to take a look inward. And Bridget is a goddess not only of the sun and of fire, but of inspiration. And one way of developing our creative abilities is to tap into that sacred fire that's within ourselves, within our souls, to work with Bridget at Imbolc time, a very powerful time for doing this, to stimulate our creativity, to enhance our creativity. And so there is an introspection dimension and inspiration dimension that many people have as part of their Imbolc celebrations. In some Wiccan traditions, Imbolc is a time for initiation and self-dedication. It depends on the particular form of Wiccan path that you are practicing or encountering. The circle craft tradition, which draws on some Wiccan spirituality as well as some old and new pagan folkways, the idea of dedication and ordination at Imbolc time is an option, but we actually have those ways of transformation at many times during the course of the year. One of the things that is really important is to not only be aware of what is happening environmentally where you're celebrating Imbolc, but if possible, get out and commune with nature. I think that tradition has been around for thousands of years, and it's a good one to continue to practice. When we take a walk out in a natural area, and this can go not only for rural areas such as where I am, but within urban areas and suburban areas, small towns, chances are there's some parks, there's some botanical gardens, there's some places where you can go experience the open sky, vegetation, creatures, the larger natural environment and world of which we are a part. And in so doing at Imbolc time, it helps you be in touch with the season as it is manifesting in the area where you are at. In some parts of the world, in the Northern Hemisphere, as late January, early February, Imbolc time comes around, there are actually flowers that are appearing. And one of those flowers is the snowdrop. We don't get our snowdrops blooming until April, if we're lucky. But in some places, late January, early February. And for that reason, the snowdrop is a symbol that has come to be worked with in Imbolc ceremonies. It's been depicted in art for this time of year. And in places where it is abundant, there is a harvesting of some snowdrop flowers and put on altars and used in ceremonies. Another thing that can come from the tradition of communing with nature in an outdoor environment is to be aware of the stirrings of springtime. What do you notice with patterns in creature behavior? Migrating birds often are harbingers of springtime, and you may notice some of those. And you also have an opportunity to look at different types of vegetation, not just snowdrops in bloom in some places, but you may see young shoots coming up from the ground. In Wisconsin, where I am, we have lots of snow. And one of the reasons that we work with the color white for our Imbolc celebrations is a reflection of that part of the environment. It also has been a universal color that has all the colors of the rainbow in perfect harmony in white light, and it is something that often has been used to depict the transformation of the soul. There's a whole body of folklore, including some folklore having to do with Bridget, about spirit animals. And often spirit animals take on a white color. And one of the traditions and bits of lore about Bridget is that after she was born, she was nursed in part with milk from a spirit cow, a white cow. And the swan is one of her symbols, and in some traditions, Bridget takes this form. She is seen as the swan maiden. Beauty, grace, strength, wisdom, magic. what's happening in nature, in the place where you're celebrating Imbolc, and having that help guide your observances. It's also important to take a look at what form of tradition and who will be observing the tradition as you consider choices. Three forms of traditions are what I call the personal tradition. This is for personal practice. If you are in a household, in a relationship, might be a family, might be a spouse, might be a household where a group of people are living together with intention, you have the household tradition. That may incorporate some things that you do personally. It might have some different things. And the third form of looking at traditions is what spiritual community are you connected with? You may be connected with a group that practices regularly. During pandemic times, that practice has gone through changes in a lot of different places. This is the case with the community that I'm part of, Circle Sanctuary. We have had Imbolc in person for many years, beginning back in the 1970s when we had our origins. But during the pandemic, we have transformed and have been doing our celebrations as virtual events, and this has made it possible not only for those of us that have already connected face-to-face with each other, but our community has really expanded during the 2 years of the pandemic, where many more people are now connected with our community by virtue of cyberspace. In looking at personal traditions, I think it's important to create some time for your celebration where you have quality time and time that isn't just a snippet here and there. And for some people, this involves setting up an appointment with yourself and Bridget and Imbolc to have your personal practice. I find that as Imbolc time arrives, that one of the things that I do every day is to greet the rising sun. The sun is a symbol connected with Bridget. She is a sun goddess as well as a fire goddess, and she's been linked not only with the sun cycle as a whole, but with the dawn. And I find it to be a powerful practice to go and to watch the sun rise. Or if it's a cloudy day, to experience the brightening of the sky behind those clouds. One of my traditions also has been to pay attention to where the sun rises, when I can see the sun rising on the horizon, and it's making its way along the horizon in a more northerly direction as it rises. I also like to be with the sun as it sets and connect with Bridget at the sunset time as well. I have some quiet time. I connect with Bridget of the Sacred Sun, and I enjoy the fact that the days are getting longer. Now, something that you may want to do as a household is, if not everyone is rising at the same time, is to have a household altar and to do some work as a household around that altar. And on that altar, you may want to have a candle or multiple candles. Each person in the household could have a candle and then have a central candle representing Bridget. Kindling fire is something that is an old tradition connected with this time of year. You may also want to have some representations of Bridget, and as a household, you may each want to contribute something to that altar and have that be a focus of your celebration. Some households keep alive the old tradition of a Bridget feast, each person contributing something to the feast or helping with the preparations. Bridget feast at Imhotep time can happen on Bridget night, the night you decide to have as your Bridget night, or it can happen during the day. Or, in my case, our household actually has a series of feasts, and we include in our Imhotep celebrations Burns night, because both myself and my husband have Scottish heritage, and it's not only a time to join in with other people of Scottish heritage and people that appreciate the poetry of the National Bard of Scotland, Robbie Burns or Robert Burns, but it's a way of really tapping into our connections with ancestors. For me personally, I know, according to some research that I've done, some books and other materials I've looked at, as well as oral family history, that there's a tradition in my family that on my father's mother's side, I have connections in old Scotland with some ancestors that actually cared for a Bridget site in Fife, Scotland. So for me, the Scottish piece is an important part of my own Imhotep celebrations. But I'm also part Irish, and certainly some of the Bridget Imhotep traditions have been really kept alive in Ireland itself. In fact, as Bridget started transforming, as Europe became Christianized, and she became a Celtic saint as well as a Celtic goddess, you'll find many St. Bridget sites. You'll actually find it in these places, many parts of Europe, but one of the most well-known of the Irish sites is the Bridget site in Kildare. There is some scholarly debate about whether this was an ancient Bridget site, pagan goddess Bridget site. I pretty much think that was the case before it became a Christian site for Saint Bridget. And was there an actual Saint Bridget, a woman that founded the Church of the Oaks at Kildare? Very likely there was some historical figure, but the Celtic goddess Bridget found some creative ways to have her lore, her power, and her traditions continue on, including the celebration of Imhotep as Ireland became Christianized. I have with me a candle that one of the women in our community who does Bridget work and ministry with Circle Sanctuary kindled from the fire at Kildare during a trip there several years ago. And I've used this candle and some other candles that have also been gifted to me by other community members and ministers that have gone to Kildare and visited the sacred fire as well as the sacred wells there. I've used this to kindle other candles that then transforms those candles into Bridget fire candles, actually having a link friends of mine back in 1993. Yes, the nuns decided to create the fire as a perpetual fire once again in 1993. Patricia Monahan, who's a neighbor and an author, and she's now in the realm of the ancestors, was among those that were at the rekindling of the Bridget fire at Kildare. Something else that is a tradition that involves going to the sacred site at Kildare, Ireland, is the idea of collecting water. And this water was collected from Bridget well there. And this is just one of a number of vials of sacred water from Bridget sites. And I have some from the sacred site at Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve. And I keep them in a tightly sealed container. And then at emerald time, I will put drops of water into water that is more recently gathered from the area around here. And that also is a connection with Bridget of the sacred waters. There are a number of customs connected with Bridget of the sacred waters. One of them is something that we have in our spiritual community, Circle Sanctuary, which is a version of the Clutie Well custom. And you'll find Clutie Wells, that most of them are sacred to Bridget, in Ireland and Scotland and Wales and parts of England, some other parts of Europe. Taking a bit of cloth and putting it as a kind of prayer ribbon, hanging it on a tree, or fixing it in some way near a Bridget holy well or a sacred spring. At Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve, we have a sacred spring. It bubbles from the ground. It's an artesian spring year-round. Yes, we collect water from that, not only at Imhoff, but at other times. And we go there at Imhoff time, as well as other times of the year, to pay respects to Bridget of the sacred water, to do some healing work. One of the traditions that I have started, and this is back in the 1990s, was to actually get some hoops and to have those hoops be places where people can tie some rags, some cloths, some ribbons. And this is actually a rag wreath that I made at a community Bridget celebration for Imhoff in the Circle Sanctuary community a number of years ago, pre-pandemic. We have hoops that have mostly ribbons, some cloths on them, and we have the tradition of those who want to take a piece of cloth or a ribbon and leave it as a prayer offering for healing at Bridget Spring, to go to the spring, to dip it in the water, and we have a small bridge that makes it possible to actually reach the water, and then to go tie it on the hoop. On some people actually bring a whole hoop themselves and put it in one of the trees or on one of the places where we hang hoops above the spring. So the idea was that you use this cloth, and some people call them cluties, some people call them rags, as a way of honoring Bridget of the sacred waters, as well as praying for healing to happen for yourself, for others. A number of years ago, I created a chant and put it on my main Facebook page, Lena Fox Updates. And a bard friend of mine, Celia, who's Celia Online, and she does wonderful concerts throughout the year and has a Bridget concert for 2022 happening on February 2nd. And I had the words for a chant, and she put those words to a melody. Bridget of the sacred waters, Bridget of the sacred waters, cleanse us, bless us, heal us, renew us, guide us, inspire us, Bridget of the sacred waters. Well, I use a number of different melodies and harmonies, and if you want to hear the recording that we created together, you can find that up on YouTube, and I plan to put some links to that as Evolve continues to come closer. So as you work with Bridget of the Sacred Water, you can work with water in a variety of ways, in a cleansing way, in a healing way, in an inspiration way, and a way for guidance and divination, and for renewing and for blessing. There is not only a tradition connected with Bridget Wells and Springs that a number of communities, individuals, and households work with, but there are all sorts of bodies of water that have been named for Bridget. But if you don't happen to be by a traditional Bridget watery place, you can create your own Bridget well or Bridget spring. One way that I have done that is I have my Bridget cauldron. It's a white ceramic cauldron, and I put water in it. I chant over it. I take bits of water, sacred waters, and add to it as part of it. And why work with Bridget of the Sacred Waters? Well, it really brings together so many of her traditions. Certainly anointing self, blessing the home, and for healing. You may want to take bits of water and of the sacred water of Bridget and put them on parts of your body that are in need of healing. Some people will actually do a sacred bath for cleansing, renewing, and healing and put some sacred Bridget water there, or turn the whole bath water into a sacred Bridget watery place. Bridget can be quite feisty and protective, and one of the forms of Bridget that I work with is her form of Brigantia. Now, Brigantia is the goddess Bridget, who was the primary deity of the Brigantes people, a tribe that was in northern England, actually took up quite a bit of space in the place that we now know it as England, during the time when the Romans were over in the UK and there was the Celtic culture. Well, Brigantia and the Minerva form of wisdom bringer of the ancient Romans got combined. And so I have a contemporary rendering of a traditional depiction of the Celtic Romano form of Bridget as Brigantia. Some say the name Britain in Great Britain comes from Brigantia, and that she was a goddess who had a peaceful dimension, a protective dimension, but she also was a warrior goddess as well. And in this form that I have, a depiction of her, she holds a globe in one, or a sphere in one hand, and Esther. Another name for Bridget is a Gaelic word meaning fiery arrow. And when I am in need of Bridget's protection, personally or my household or community, I work with Brigantia in that form of Bridget for that. So at Imwalk, I have a particular altar set up with Brigantia, and I have different altars in my home for some of the different faces of Bridget. Some prefer to have what I call a composite icon of Bridget, and Heidi Sutton created one such icon where you have Bridget of the as fire goddess, as swan, Bridget's connection with sheep, with water, with the forest, because she's a goddess of smithcraft, of inspiration. You'll see her with a quill pen representing the bardic traditions of healing, of the land, of the oak. Well, you have a lot of those attributes and faces of Bridget all in one particular form. Some people work with Bridget as a spring goddess and see Imwalk as the time for the very first stirrings of spring, or if they're at a place where you actually do have snowdrops and other flowers blooming, actually seeing the fertility returning to the land. Others prefer to work with Bridget in a threefold way as she who inspires the bards, the poets, the goddess of inspiration, she who is a smith, a blacksmith, a goldsmith, she of the forge, which in human life can also take the form of transformation, and Bridget, who is healer and midwife, she who nurtures. I have an image that I have worked with that has her in this triple form. Certainly one of the traditions and some of the lore about Bridget is that she was three different goddesses, and then those three goddesses all merged together across time. I actually see the different facets of Bridget as part of her in her multifaceted way, and I recognize for some people, Saint Bridget is a totally separate sacred being, and each of the forms of the triple Bridget are each forms of goddess. But for myself, they're all facets of Bridget, the all Bridget, and the many faceted Bridget. So having a Bridget altar, a personal altar, a household altar, a community altar is a really powerful tradition to have as you celebrate Imwalk. Given the fact that many of us are celebrating online in 2022, I would invite you to consider an additional way of celebrating Imwalk, which is to share pictures of your own Bridget altars, your household altar, if everyone in your household's okay with that, your personal altar, and if you're part of a community that can safely gather, your community altar. By sharing your altars, you not only help Bridget get some visibility and unlock some visibility in cyberspace, but you can enhance the whole celebration on a global level. So I see Bridget Imwalk traditions is not just limited to our individual practices, how we choose to practice, and our household chooses to practice, and our community chooses to practice, but to actually contribute to how Imhoff is being celebrated around the planet. Now, those in the Southern Hemisphere, most of the people that I'm in touch with, in late January and early February, there is the celebration of Lunasa rather than Imhoff. Some, though, in the Southern Hemisphere that are part of spiritual communities that are based in the Northern Hemisphere actually have a dual celebration for the holiday. And when I do live streams, and as I'm doing now, I think it's important to recognize the global connection with Bridget and holiday celebration, and to recognize that the holiday of Imhoff also has woven into it, 6 months later, Lunasa, and I see those two holidays being paired not just because of how seasons work on planet Earth, but some of the lore and the legends connected with Bridget can also be shared 6 months later at Lunasa. What are some additional traditions that can be part of Bridget's Imhoff celebration? The Bridey doll and the Bridey bed. Now, some people will make their Bridey dolls out of rushes or wheat, grains, oat. Some actually have a human goddess-looking doll, and the doll is typically put in some kind of container that serves as a bed, and inviting Bridget to come into one's home is often connected with the Bridey doll and Bridey bed custom. Now, it can be connected with actual fertility of crops, and if you're in a rural area or you're in a place where creatures are part of your life, can bless the creatures, the livestock, but can also be creative fertility for ideas and celebrations. So a Bridey doll and a Bridey bed can be used as a symbol of prosperity and abundance of renewal, but can actually be used more specifically for those that want that to bless pregnancy, to bless the house with well-being for multiple generations. I have a particular altar with different forms of Bridget on it in my home, and this Bridey doll and Bridey bed, which is a form of a very, it's actually a bread basket that I converted into a Bridey bed. This I have as a symbol of her being present, of resting comfortably in the home. Along with this, in some places, and in fact in Ireland, people dress up in straw outfits, straw boys and straw girls, and processions, and at night with candles and torches and carrying a Bridey doll through the streets as part of the celebration of awakening the land and awakening the springtime. Well, a tradition that also is part of the Bridey doll and Bridey bed is to circumambulate your home. Go clockwise around your home. Now, some versions of this tradition, you go around three times. Others, it's one time. And depending on how far north you are and how deep freeze you're in, it may be an imagination journey around your place if the wind chill factor is not safe to spend a bunch of time outdoors. But circling the homestead whether you're in an apartment or you're in an actual house or a duplex or whatever, and then have somebody inside the house as one or more of those in procession or outside knock on the door, and then the person inside the house calls on Bridget to come in and be welcome in the house. So that's one version of a tradition. A version that we do at Circle Sanctuary when we've been able to meet in person for many years prior to the pandemic, we have had a knocking on the door three times and the opening of the door, and we as a group go, Bridget, come in. Bridget, be welcome. Bridget, come in. Bridget, be welcome. And then the one who's outside, who's representing Bridget, will come in. We've had a Bridget Sun Maiden person, a young woman who has worn a crown of battery-operated candles representing Bridget the Sun Maiden, who has actually come in rather than a bridie doll as a way of invoking her into our festival. Well, you can invite Bridget to come into your home by opening up your door and letting a bit of the fresh air of the bulk time coming into your home. So another really ancient custom that's getting adapted as it makes its way around different communities and different places. What are some other things to do? Well, the Bridget Cross. The Bridget Cross can be made of a number of materials. One that I have used in circle casting is actually a representation of a Bridget Cross made out of ceramic. The traditional way of making a Bridget Cross is out of rushes or reeds, and we have, as a community, made Bridget Crosses at Emauk and blessed them in ritual. Many people will make their own Bridget Cross at home, or their household will do that. And yes, there are different materials that you can use. One of the things that we will do at our community celebrations, if we're going to be working with rushes, we also have some pipe cleaners available, which are a lot more flexible and easy to work with for people of all ages and crafting ability. And so I actually have a variety of Bridget Crosses that have been crafted over the years. Some I've crafted myself, and some have been gifted to me or that I've gotten in my travels. So what can you do with a Bridget Cross? Why make these? These represent the sun. Often they have four equal arms, so the equal arm cross represents the sun. Some are three-legged instead, or three-armed instead of four. And I like working with them as a wand, a symbol on the altar, but the traditional use of Bridget Crosses is to bless the home, to bless places, and not only the home, but for those in agricultural areas, Bridget Crosses were put in the rafters of agricultural buildings, barns and sheds and that type of thing. Now, it's said that Bridget, the goddess of fire, can protect against fire in the home and against lightning. And lightning is something else that has been connected with Bridget. And in ancient times, the lore is that Bridget crosses were made and put in the kitchen where the hearth fire is to help provide some spiritual protection with the live fire in the house. It's traditional to put a Bridget cross above a doorway or near a doorway. Some people will put a Bridget cross on their front door as a decoration and as a talisman. And if you aren't particularly craft-oriented, there are ways that you can get an illustration of a Bridget cross and frame that, use that as your Bridget cross, so you don't actually have to physically create one to have that present. Some people will make a brand new Bridget cross every year and will cast the old Bridget cross into a Bridget fire at Imwalk and then bless the new one. I like to hold on to my Bridget crosses. Each one has its own kind of memories. I have burned some Bridget crosses that I've crafted as part of a ritual offering, but I tend to re-bless them at Imwalk rather than burn them. It's a matter of personal choice and preference. Another tradition is to take a piece of cloth. Now, some people call it a Bridget brat or Bridget mantle. Take a piece of cloth and some decorate the cloth. Some it might be a shawl that you actually use. And take a piece of cloth and on Bridget night, put it outside for Bridget to bless on Bridget night. And this is one that I started using 9 years ago, and I have it on an altar. And yes, I have a back deck at my house, so what I do is drape it over the railing, and in the morning, I come and get it, and it's said to have the Bridget mantle, the Bridget cloth that's blessed on Bridget's night, it can be used for healing for self and for others. So an old tradition that is continuing to be used in different ways by people. An additional thing to do at Bridget's time of Imwalk is to cook some special foods or to work with foods connected with Bridget. Now, Imwalk, many say, comes from a word meaning in the belly and has to do with ewes being pregnant with baby sheep in the making. And some say the word Omuk that is used as another name for Imwalk, that means ewe's milk. So milk actually is a sacred food of Bridget. Working with bread, making bread at this time of year is something that's an old tradition as well. Blackberries have been associated with Bridget. There's a wide range of different foods. Some people make a bannock cake and will eat that as well as drink milk as part of a Bridget feast. But we're in an age where there is a wide range of dietary preferences and medical necessities. So people that don't take actual cow's milk, there's different types of milk-like substances. In Wisconsin, not everybody's happy that almond milk's called milk, but essentially there are some other types of white liquid that can be used if you don't take dairy products into your system. And if you don't do gluten products, well, there's ways that you can make gluten-free cakes as well. So here's an example of some traditional foods that you can adapt according to the dietary needs of yourself, your household, your community. What are some other ways to connect with Bridget at Imwalk? What are traditions? The bardic tradition. Support a bard. Share stories. Share poetry. Share music. Support bards that you know. Attend their concerts. Donate to them. Share their offerings with their permission on social media, boost their signal, create your own stories, your own poetry, your own chants. Connecting with inspiration with Bridget is also a long-standing tradition at this time of year. And we have the idea of working with another one of Bridget's sacred forms, the oak. And I like working with acorns at this time of year, using them as a symbol of Bridget and new life. And this I gathered from the forest. I live in an oak forest here. I also have a gold acorn, which is an actual acorn that has a very thin coating of gold that an artist created. And gold is one of the metals associated with Bridget. And I have this particular golden acorn in my variety bed to connect with the strength and the resilience and the renewing power of the oak. Bridget is a goddess that's been connected with land and with the planet. And I have an image that Rowan Fairgrove crafted many years ago and gifted me with, and it's Bridget bringing peace to the planet. So the idea of Bridget as peacemaker, not only working for world peace, but inner peace, is something that also is ancient. And there is an event that begins on February 1st every year called the United Nations World Interfaith Harmony Week. I think it's really powerful that this particular global celebration of interfaith harmony starts on February 1st, a day that is St. Bridget's Day amongst Christians, MWOC amongst many pagans in the Northern Hemisphere, and it's also the beginning of a week-long celebration and working together for world peace and interfaith harmony. So, Bridget, peace upon us. Bridget, peace within us. Bridget, peace around us, inner peace, world peace, Bridget peace, bright Bridget blessings. Thanks to all of you who have joined live and to all of you who will be joining later. And these are just some of the Bridget traditions that are part of celebrations that I have been observing at MWOC time, and knowing there is a vast amount of lore, chants, educational videos, meditations, and rituals that are out in cyberspace. This podcast is just one of a number that I've done, and there are many others who celebrate Bridget and MWOC that are also sharing their information and their experiences. I'd like to conclude with a chant that I often will use to create a sacred circle for celebration. And I have used a Bridget cross as a way of doing that type of circle casting. Circle of Bridget power, Circle of Bridget light, circle of Bridget magic, circle of Bridget bright, circle of Bridget power, circle of Bridget light, circle of Bridget magic, circle of Bridget bright. So let us take a bit of that Bridget Imhoff circle that I've cast around us here at this time of celebration. Let it come into us to bless us, to guide us in our connections with Bridget and our connections with Imhoff. And know that we are the ancestors of the future, whether we have human children or not. Those of us who are keeping alive Bridget traditions from the past, those of us who are adapting Bridget traditions and creating Bridget traditions, we are doing so not only as part of the celebration in the here and now, but we are part of a much larger, multi-generational, multicultural, interreligious, multilingual, international celebration of Bridget around the world, across cultures, across state traditions. And may Bridget and Imhoff continue to be part of the human experience. And may Bridget be in us and with us, guiding us in our work with her, with Imhoff, and with each other, our loved ones, in our household, in our spiritual communities, in our nations, and in our world, now and in times to come. Bright Bridget blessings. Thanks to all of you for tuning in. And for more information, you can go to the Circle Sanctuary website, circlesanctuary.org. Check out my list of 19 ways to celebrate Imhoff under Celebrating the Seasons. And you can find more podcasts as well as information about our upcoming Imhoff celebration in 2022. Be sure to visit the Circle Sanctuary YouTube channel and my Selena Fox YouTube channel for workshops and chants from Imhoff's past. Many thanks, and if you're working with Bridget, be sure to thank her. So, Bridget, we give thanks. Bright Bridget, we give thanks. Bright Bridget, blessings, we give thanks. Thanks to our whole CSNP podcasting team, to David and Jeanette Ewing for engineering and station management, to Laura and Char and Deborah Rose, other podcasters, and find out more about the podcasting that we do. You can find us on Facebook, CSN Podcast, and at the Circle Sanctuary website, CSNP, at circlesanctuary.org. Bright Bridget blessings.
Bridget, hold the sacred water. Bridget, hold. frigid of the sacred waters.
Cleanse us.
Sanctuary Network Podcasts, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.